So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nicole Beauchemin. I will be the moderator of many of your sessions this year. We will have four different public forums held out throughout the year until the spring. We want to welcome you to the new Goodman Cancer Research Center public forum. This year, the thematic that we will be pursuing is Cancer's New Era of Promise and Progress, une ère riche de promesses et de progrès en cancérologie. But before we begin with tonight's talks, I would like to take a few moments to honor our wonderful colleague and friend, Rosalind Goodman. As you may know, Roz recently passed away on August 11th after battling cancer for many years. Some of you may be wondering, who was Rosalind Goodman? Rosalind was the beloved wife and companion for 53 years of Morris Goodman, who's sitting over there. She was the proud mother of Deborah, David, Jonathan, and Shauna. To the close families and friends, the researchers and members of the Goodman Cancer Research Center offer their heartfelt condolences for your terrible loss. We share with you the tremendous void left in all of our lives by the passing of this great lady. The Goodman Cancer Research Center has been supported now for more than 5 years by an endowment from Rosalind and her husband, Morris Goodman, to support fundamental research in understanding cancer, as well as develop research towards discovery of novel therapies that are translated to the clinic and help patients in their fight against this terrible disease. One of the great accomplishments of Rosalind Goodman has been the promotion of dissemination of information about cancer, and also and foremost about the new treatments stemming from cancer research to patients and their families. She proposed many years ago that we start a series of talks to reach the public and explain in simple words not only the work that we are doing, but how this is influencing patients' views of their disease and helping their families throughout this difficult ordeal. Rosalind was the one who suggested that survivors be invited to share their journey through the maze of clinical treatments, how they respond to the invasion of their bodies, and how their resilience helps them to fight cancer on a daily basis. The first Goodman public forums were attended by a handful of people in a rather empty room, but she encouraged us to keep promoting them using public media and word of mouth. And look at what we have become today. For tonight's talk, we have over 200 people registered and are using the largest auditorium in the Faculty of Medicine. Rosalind Goodman was indeed an extraordinary woman. She considered herself a professional volunteer. And as many of us who've had the chance to interact with her in her boundless projects could tell you, she was persuasive and determined to channel her energies and ours to, in the word of our principal, Suzanne Fortier, help others into a lifelong mission to support world-class scientists in the battle to eradicate cancer. Rosalind initiated and convinced her friends to organize the biennial galas that have raised more than $6 million for the center's activities. And more recently, she undertook and supported the production of a great cookbook of healthy recipes called The Smart Palate, with the proceeds of sales benefiting the Goodman Cancer Research Center. What have interactions with Rosalind brought to me personally? As you know, I am both a researcher and a survivor. To some degree, this dichotomy imposes on me a a responsibility to convey the message. Rosalind's initiatives have more than ever convinced me that the patients, the clinicians who treat them, as well as the researchers who pursue their quest for novel treatments, are all partners working together towards a common goal, which is to eradicate the disease and do everything in our power such that patients regain the control of their lives and develop as full human beings. Thank you, Roz, for this great lesson. And to the Goodwin family, thank you so much for sharing with us your wonderful wife and mother. I would like to introduce Dr. Peter Siegel, Associate Director of the Goodwin Cancer Research Center, who is replacing Dr. Morag Park, our director, in delivering the eulogy. Morag, unfortunately, could not be present tonight as she had a prior commitment in Europe. Peter.
Thanks, Nicole. And I'd like to also to thank all of you for attending the first of the four lectures in this 2014-15 Goodwin Cancer Research Center Public Forum series. Your attendance here tonight is a testament to Roz's tireless efforts and her strong belief in the importance of an informed public, that knows about the latest advances in cancer research, those that are coming down the pipeline, as well as those that are currently available to patients in the clinic today. And she wanted to sort of set up a forum in which we could bring together both basic researchers and clinicians and clinician scientists around a certain focus or cancer focus in order to impart this information that Roz was so thought was so vital that the lay public understand and hear about. So I first joined McGill University in 2004, and I had the good fortune to become part of the Goodwin Cancer Center when it opened in 2008 as part of the Greater Life Sciences Complex. And the transformative gift from the Goodwin family allowed the consolidation of a variety of research strengths here at McGill University that were focused on cancer research into one physical space that adjoined the McIntyre, the new cancer pavilion, and the Bellini Life Sciences building. And this was an incredibly exciting time for both me and my laboratory in that it allowed us to become part of an extremely exciting, collaborative research environment in where the PIs could exchange ideas, but more importantly, the trainees working in each of those laboratories were free to reach out, interact with their peers that they might not have interacted with, exchange ideas and share different perspectives around the cancer problems that they were each focused on. So I think that this, as a legacy of the Goodwin Cancer Center and the gift that brought it about, is sort of one of the lasting and very powerful impacts of that investment. It was not until I became interim director of the Goodwin Cancer Center in 2012 that I had the privilege to interact with both Rosalind and Morris in person. And I was struck by the power and the energy behind their convictions of the importance of fundamental basic research and how that can inform ultimate treatment strategies to better manage the disease. I had many interactions with Roz specifically over that year and a half, and I was always very impressed with the fact that she always had an idea that she wanted to pursue. She always had a very clear vision for what that project could achieve for the Cancer Center. And the incredible energy and ability to mobilize the volunteers and the necessary individuals around making that idea a reality. And I was often struck by one particular sentiment that she would always say. And she would always say, "We must let everyone know that the Goodwin Cancer Center has the best and the brightest scientists, and we need to support them." And she would be continually saying that whenever we would meet. As Nicole mentioned, Roz would think about projects, and no project was either too big or too small for her to accomplish those goals and objectives. So just in closing, I would like to say that the Goodwin Cancer Center really has lost a tireless advocate for the importance not only of basic cancer research, for understanding how those basic research discoveries translate into better treatment of the disease, but also a tireless advocate for creating a better and more informed lay public. And so these, I think, were, you know, sort of the signature ideals that Rosalind always was working towards. And through her support of the Cancer Center, she's been able to realize a number of them. And I'm quite excited about tonight's forum because you're beginning to hear a number of different stories that have emerged both from the Cancer Center, locally at McGill, and in the Jewish General and the U of M, all of which are focused on discoveries that are coming out of the laboratory that are beginning to shape the way that we think about treating certain diseases. And I just want to close by saying that Roz is and will continue to be very, very sorely missed by all of those that had the privilege to meet her, and that the Goodman Cancer Center will strive to honor her memory by continuing our efforts and each of the investigators within the Cancer Center in pursuing research excellence here at McGill. Thank you.
So I propose that we take 1 minute of silence to remember and pray for Rosalind Goodman and many of our family members, friends, and colleagues who've passed away from cancer. As a tribute to Rosalind Goodman, tonight's public forum will celebrate, as Peter just mentioned, some of our research successes translated or on their way to translation. And it's with great pleasure that we do this with one of our colleagues from the Cancer Center and the Department of Biochemistry, from another one of our colleagues, Marc Thérien, from the Institut de Recherche en Immunologie et en Cancer at the University of Montreal, and with the director of the Segal Cancer Center at the Jewish General Hospital. And as an added bonus, we have a former student of the Cancer Center who's now a resident going back to medicine and continuing to be invested in research. So tonight's theme is From Bench to Bedside, Local Discoveries with Global Impact. Du laboratoire au patient, des découvertes locales à priorité mondiale. Well, you know me. Our first speaker tonight is Dr. Gordon Shore. He's a professor of biochemistry in the Department of Biochemistry. He's the director of the Laboratory of Therapeutic Development at the Goodman Cancer Research Center and here at McGill University. Please welcome Gordon.
Thank you, Nicole, and good evening, everyone. It's a real honor to be part of tonight's public forum. Just over 10 years ago, modern genomics was ushered in with the first complete sequencing of the human genome. And in the intervening years, modern genomics has had a profound effect on the way in which we view cancer. And indeed, as you'll hear from Dr. Battis, it's had a profound effect on the way in which we diagnose cancer. And the reason for that is that each individual cancer is made up of a complex collection of gene mutations that drive the ultimate progression and the outcome of that particular gene. Now, by confronting that genetic complexity, recognizing it, confronting it, I think you'll hear from all of us tonight that there are ways in which really new ways of not only thinking about the therapeutics, but capitalizing on this and generating new ways in which we might treat this very deadly disease. So the human genome is made up of a whole collection, over 18,000 genes, which are there to produce proteins. It's made up of thousands of regulatory elements, other elements, probably hundreds of elements that are yet to be discovered. And collectively, they determine the normal development of the human being, its normal physiology. Those numbers are relatively large, but they don't capture the complexity of the genetic system. And the reason for that is that the genetic system, each gene doesn't operate in isolation, but rather it's part of a complex pathway or complex network. So that, for example, any given gene might influence the activities of 10 or 20 other genes, and in turn, the activity of this specific gene might be influenced itself by many other genes. So it's this interconnectivity that amplifies the complexity of the genetics of cancer and the challenges in confronting that therapeutically. As you know, a defect in a single gene can cause disease. There are hundreds of such diseases that we know of, very often caused by a mutation in a single gene that is inherited from our parents, our grandparents. It's just over 90 years ago, for example, that Frederick Banting and Charles Best, working at the University of Toronto, made their key discovery, discovering insulin and the treatment of what today we know is as type 1 diabetes. Now, Banting and Best didn't even know that genes existed. They didn't know what proteins were, and yet they were remarkably successful. And the reason they were successful is they were able to isolate an active factor from ligated pancreas of animals, and they were able to isolate this active factor, didn't know what it was, turned out to be insulin. And when that was then injected into a human patient, it found its way, it's a protein fragment, it found its way into the bloodstream, its natural home, and it was able to overcome the deficit of diabetes. And so why isn't there an insulin for cancer? And the reason for that is the complexity that I talked about. Cancer isn't driven by a single gene usually. It's driven by a complex combination of gene mutations. Those mutations are acquired usually not through inheritance, but rather by the cancer cell itself. This collection of mutations operates within the tumor cell, and it drives a very complex change in the biology of that cell that results in cancer, and a complex way in which that cell interacts with the host and with the environment in order to allow the disease to progress. And really, it's the modern age, the modern age of genomics now, that is allowing us to be able to understand these genes in the context of the patient and how we can then integrate that information back into basic research in order to make an impact. The modern genomics has, as I said, transformed the way in which cancer can be diagnosed and ultimately treated. And again, Jerry will comment upon this. It is now possible through an explosion in genomics technologies to be able to analyze the genome of each cancer patient in now great detail. And then one can take the collection of gene mutations that are identified for any one patient within a cancer indication and compare it to the tumors in a variety of other patients with the same cancer indication. And through what we refer to as genome-wide association studies, come up with the commonalities between these genetic defects and come up with hypotheses for hopefully the limited number of master regulators within that collection, the so-called drivers that drive the evolution of the disease. And as I also indicated, it's through an understanding of the patient's tumors that we get insights into new therapeutic strategies. And so it's certainly not enough just to have that information. It's got to be, as Nicole and as Peter said, it has to be translated into something that is therapeutically tractable. And therein comes basic research. And in 2014, it requires a very sophisticated research center, such as the Goodman, such as ERIC, such as the Siegel, in order to conduct the kind of research that is going to have a significant impact. And so at the Goodman, we have an enormous amount of cell and molecular technologies that we can deploy to understand the underlying biology of these mutations, try to come up with their Achilles heel that might be tractable from the perspective of developing new therapeutics. We have developed sophisticated animal models of cancer in which some of the predictions can be tested in a physiological setting. We have access to multiple clinical samples that can also be deployed using these various molecular techniques in order to uncover certain predictions. And so at no time in the history of cancer research has basic research and clinical activities been more integrated and more essential to moving novel therapeutics forward. So it is a completely now a two-way street in which understanding the evolution of disease and the response to therapies, combining that with an analysis of the patient's tumor's genome, informing lab research that can make predictions and test predictions and move opportunities back through the clinical trajectory in order to hopefully have a better impact on the treatment of cancer. And so, as Peter and Nicole said, we're but one laboratory within the Goodman Cancer Research Institute, and I, together with many of my colleagues, in fact, engage in this basic research component with a view to uncovering new therapeutic opportunities. If you're interested in our laboratory, you can go to our website, ltdmcgill.ca. And for our particular laboratory, our mission is to generate the knowledge that will allow a novel therapeutic entity to be translated into the right patient population. We do research that uncovers knowledge. What's the best indication for this new agent? What is the patient subpopulation that has the particular genetic profile to particularly benefit from this agent? So in our parlance, what we are doing is generating a strategy to take a new experimental agent from the preclinical into the right population in the clinic in order to do what we refer to as a proof of principle clinical trial. The genetics of cancer actually fall into a whole bunch of buckets. These are pathways which, as I said, is able to transform the cancer cell so it does all the things that it needs